Blog Talk Radio.
Listeners, it is your host, Kimberly Skeen. We're here again. You know what not? You know what time it is. It's Tuesday night. It's 8:30 p.m., and we are ready to resurrect responsible dialogue again, here one more time. So, JR, are you ready tonight?
I think so.
Drea, how you feeling this evening?
I'm doing good. No complaints over here.
All right. So you guys, tonight's show topic, we've heard all of the debate. We're coming down to the final leg of the race. And JR is going to run the show tonight, and we're going to have a discussion tonight, or even, if you will, a great debate tonight, about Christ-centered politics. So tonight we're going to put it in. We're going to do our part in this whole atmosphere of voting and politics. We're going to do our part and talk about and have some discussion. And we're going to do it tonight, and we'll probably do it again the first week, which is actual voting night is when the show will air. One more time on politics, and we'll see what we can hash out here tonight or what we can figure out amongst ourselves tonight. So, right at the top of the show, we want to thank all of our listeners for adding to this amazing journey that we have here on Freedom Radio. You guys are so encouraging throughout the week, all of your Facebook posts, all of the calls, all of the things that you post on Blog Talk Radio. You guys are the absolute best. So I want to say that right up front. I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming, following us every week, every Tuesday at 8:30. You're there to support us. So we just want to say thank you for that. So if you are new to the Freedom Radio listenership or to the new Freedom Radio conversation, I would like to say, we need you to do a couple things for us. You can find us on Facebook. We're under a network called We Speak Radio, Blog Talk Radio. Go on that Facebook page and like us. Do that tonight, and while I'm talking to you about that, I'm going to tell you another way you can like us. On Blog Talk Radio, if you're listening by the website, you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and that way you will always be informed of when our network is airing shows, and we have new shows coming up for you. You're going to hear more voices. You hear Freedom Radio on Tuesday. You hear Chat and Chew on Wednesday with the founder, Shelley Caldwell. So go out to Blog Talk Radio, or while you're listening on the web, you see the address, the title of tonight's show. Yes, okay. So if you look to the left of that, you see the picture of our founder, Shelley Caldwell. Right below her name is the word follow. If you could click that button, you will begin to get emails on when we air. So we thank you for all of that. If you want to call in live, we have a number for you to call in live. That number is 914-338-1692. Again, that number is 914-338-1692. We have a little bit of etiquette with that telephone number. And what we ask you to do is when you call in, and if you want to add to the conversation or ask a question, we need you to press 1 on the dial pad. That will notify us that you want to join the conversation. After you've asked your question, we need you to press 1 again. That takes you out of the queue just in case you have a follow-up question. So if you have a follow-up question, you press 1 again, and that will notify us that you have a follow-up question. All right, so now everybody has all the rules. Those of you listening on the website, please go start chatting out there, because we're going to take some time out to come see what you guys are talking about. So do that. Start adding your ideas and thoughts and stuff like that on the webpage. We appreciate that on Blog Talk Radio. So, JR, now I've done enough talking, and you are excited about tonight's show. So I don't know how you're going to start it, but go on and start. You just take over. I'm going to follow.
Well, thank you, Kim, and hello to Dre, and hello to everybody listening out there. You know, I'm a little nervous tonight because usually when I host the show, the founder of Freedom Radio is not on with me. So if I feel a little bit jittery, y'all, it's because Kim is on the line with me.
Look, I knew that was coming.
Knew it was coming. So that's to lighten up the mood, because tonight's show is going to be a little bit different. For everybody who's listening out there, when we hosted Christ Center Politics, the first show, we did that on October 2nd. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to it when we had the show, go back and listen to the archive. But it was the second highest rated show that we've had on Freedom Radio over this last year, with a little bit over 800 listeners and or those who are listening via the Internet. So I think that's a tremendous achievement. That lets me know that there's a lot of people that are not trying to listen just to the same old thing about politics as usual, but what they're trying to do is hear something different. And especially for those of us who are of the Christian faith, those of us who are believers, a lot of us are wanting to hear something different as well. So tonight, y'all, we're not going to just be talking, quote unquote, but we're really just going to focus on some biblical scriptures. And we're also going to point everything that we're talking about toward being Christ-centered, because that's what this whole show tonight is about. It's about Christ-centered politics. So with that, we have a special guest with us tonight, Reverend Lawrence Thompson. He has been with us before on a couple of shows. And I thought it was just befitting to bring an individual back who, one, loves God, is a family man, who served in the pulpit, who knows what it takes to be among diverse groups of individuals, keeps it real, but most of all, is going to be able to give us a unbiased perspective and be able to walk with us as we deal with the scriptures and listen to what God is talking to us. So, Brother Thompson, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Nathan and Kim. It's nice to talk to you over the radio. I appreciate the introduction, and looking forward to tonight's discussion.
All right. So let me tell you how we're going to do it tonight, Freedom Radio. What we're just going to do is just, I'm going to throw these scriptures out here, and I don't say that with any disrespect, but we're going to put them out there because it's been about 3 or 4 months where God has really just been laying on my heart different scriptures as different things has transpired over this political season. And we're not hearing a lot of what God is saying. We're hearing a lot of what people are saying. So that's where we want to focus our attention on tonight. Let me tell you the first scripture. The first scripture is from Colossians 4:6. And for those of you who don't know it, I can hear some pages turning in some Bibles. It says, "Let your speech always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to respond to one another." Another translation, it says, "Let it always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone." So from that, I'm thinking that it's very important for when we start talking about politics and what's going on in the political realm as Christians, and this is my personal opinion, we can't do it as a Democrat. I can't do it as a Republican. My views need to come from a Christian point of view. And I say that because if we can't start from there, trying to start from my Democrat point of view or trying to start from my Republican point of view, which I'm neither, and I thank God for that, we're swimming upstream when it comes to trying to connect with one another or even have discussion with one another. So I'll just throw it out there. Brother Thompson, Kim, Drea, what do you say about that scripture? How important is that for where we are right now in this political realm, knowing that even though November is coming and it's going to come and go, everything that's going on in people's lives, those things are still going to be there. It's sort of like going to church. You go to church on Sunday, if you was late and past due on a bill, God may give you some peace in church, but that bill still is past due and still needs to be paid. So, Brother Thompson, we'll let you start off with this, and just come and talk to us any way God will lead you, brother.
Well, I think this is a really interesting topic to have, first of all. You know, what you find most times when Christians, and I'll speak about us, when Christians are having political discourse about who should be selected and why they're going with this particular person, the problem that typically happens is to you know, people, obviously people in our interests. I mean, I think that's pretty understandable. But a lot of times that what happens is we get so caught up in the emotion of it. And we get so single-minded in terms of how we view our own thoughts and opinions and maybe our inability to sway the other person that it becomes a conversation that's not fruitful. It becomes something that is actually something that would be more discouraging from someone from the outside who's not a believer, seeing how we carry ourselves and communicate. And the Word of God in the scripture that you highlighted in Colossians lets us know not so much, it doesn't have anything to do with politics, but it has everything to do with how we govern ourselves as believers and our responsibility to one another, to those that are believers and non-believers, that we've got a standard that we've got to be held accountable for, and yep, that we have to always be mindful that we are constantly sowing. We are constantly in a position that we're trying to win others to Christ. And oftentimes, you know, we look at the situation and we see, obviously, there's a great deal at stake when you talk about the office of president and Congress and things like that. So, you know, the passion behind it is understandable, but the way in which we do things is not acceptable. And, you know, I can make my point and I can say things that may disagree with you, but it has to be in a way that's honorable, that's showing love, that's walking in a place of integrity, that's not being demeaning. And, you know, I'm not going to point out any particular part of the country, but when I see Christianity in this particular arena, when it comes down to this time of the year, it's always the most negative and the most unimpressive light. And I think that's what God looks down on, and he's disappointed and wants us to do better. So I think having conversations like this helps us to be reminded of the role that we have to play and the things that we have to do. It's bigger than politics. It's bigger than a moment. It's about the kingdom, and it's about eternal life. And when we look at it from that perspective, it'll help us in how we communicate in this scenario, in any situation that's confrontation.
Mm, awesome, brother. You know, you said a couple of things. You mentioned honorable. You mentioned respect. You mentioned winning souls for Christ. You mentioned the kingdom. You mentioned eternal life. All of those things, when we hear those words, those are our starting points. Those are good places for us to talk and have conversations with other people about. And I think if we start with things of that nature, with conversation pieces of that nature, it will help us to be able to see who the other person is. Because a lot of it really, really deals with me about diversity, because that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with all these different isms. We're dealing with not accepting the white man, not accepting the black man, not accepting the Mormon, not accepting the Christian, saying that a Christian is a Muslim. All of these things that are so nonsense, there's things that are rooted in other things that we really don't want to talk about, if we'd be honest. Especially as Christians. So what I'm finding out is there is a hiding behind the politics of it all. But in the big scheme of things, there's something behind it that is driving that, whether it's a upbringing, whether it's something that has been learned over the years. And you're right, my brother, we do have a responsibility as Christians to be able to stand in the gap and say, I'm not going to act like that.
Right.
But especially if you want to talk like that, you have the right to talk like that. But God is not giving you the right to talk like that. That's not freedom that God has given. So, Kim, I know you dropped off from there, but you're back. Do you have anything, or Greg, do you have anything you want to add right now?
Well, I know I want to touch on a couple of things, because you asked specifically about what that text or what that passage meant to me. And a couple of things that's been on my mind recently is, number one, as Christians, we understand principles and laws. We understand, to put it in worldly terms, what goes up must come down. Laws are laws. They don't change. It's going to happen. We understand that concept. In that concept, we understand that there is power in our words. And the power in our words does not turn on and turn off depending on the type of conversation I'm having. My words still hold power whether I'm talking to my child, whether I'm at work engaged in conversation with a colleague, or whether I'm having a conversation about politics. Therefore, I have to be very intentional about my speech. And that's how I'm interpreting this text, or what I'm interpreting the text to mean, that I'm always aware of the words that are coming out of my mouth. Number one, because I believe in principle. Number two, because we understand the power that our words have. To play off terminology that people always want to talk about. Oh, I have freedom of speech. Indeed, we do. But as Christians, I think we understand that language, freedom of speech, at a whole nother level than what people that are non-believers understand that term. So please, we got to understand that our words always have power, and we always have to be intentional of our conversations that we're having. So that's the thing that sticks out to me about that verse. And that's all I had to add to that, but that's a really stickler for me.
And you know what? Can you remember back when we were children, where somebody would say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me"?
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about that, and you know, I'm full grown. Everybody knows that. You know, I'm in the 40 club, and I thought about that, and I said, even today, as I watch some of the debates, as I listen to my brothers and sisters in Christ say some very derogatory things, whether it's about our president, whether it's about Mitt Romney, some very derogatory things. And these are things that those individuals, if they had an opportunity, they wouldn't say it directly to them. So what does that say about the Christ-centered politics that we're living? If I can't say that to my brother or sister, if I can only say it to a group of individuals who are only like me, for example, I can only say that with my Christian Republican friends. I can only have certain conversations around my Christian Democrat friends. Then maybe there's something wrong with the speech that I'm actually saying. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there.
Do you think that would, like, because listening to what you're saying, like, do you think that it's actually what you're saying, or is it that you're being mindful of the people that you're talking to? Like, I mean, I don't believe in talking behind someone's back. I feel that if you can say something to others about someone, you should be able to say it to that person as well, you know. But when it comes to the politics or even religion in general, because so many people come from different aspects of it, I can see why let's say I'm a Democrat and I'm talking to a Republican about something that they don't like that Democrats stand for. That could then cause confrontation, or some people don't take that well. I may not be upset because I feel that I've said it in a peaceful manner, and you know, with my heart behind it, not trying to hurt or demean anyone. But they may take it so wrong because they stand for this certain policy. So then I may think next time, like, okay, let's just not talk about this subject with them, but I'll go over here and talk to my other friends who are Democrats and stand behind the same, you know, stance that I may have. Does that make sense? Like, so that's, like, just based off of what you were saying, like, I just kind of think about that sometimes people pick and choose who or what they're going to have a conversation with depending on who's going to side with what they want them to side with because they don't want the confrontation.
And that draws me to this. That means there's something either wrong with what you're saying, not you, Dre, personally, but either there's something wrong with what they're saying, or there's something wrong with you that you don't feel that you can say that to another person.
Right.
It's either the speech or it's something within you. And those are, and this whole thing of what we're dealing with tonight, it's about conversation. It's about conversation. It's how do I relate to another person, to another human being, to somebody who is just as much God's child as I am, whether they're Christian or not. You know, during this time of where we are with the debates, all these opinions, ungodliness, the strife, whatever you want to put in front of political, the thing that I know, and I agree with you, Brother Thompson, is that God is not pleased. I think he would rather us be Christian versus a Republican Christian.
Right.
I think that he would rather us be Christian if we have professed him rather than being a Democratic Christian. Because once we take a side, we know from the political shows that we've had so far, we had two shows previous to the last one in October, Church and Politics, or Politics and the Church. And we had a Democrat who was a Christian, one who was a minister, and we had a Republican. Once we take those sides, we are aligning ourselves with whatever the views of those political parties are. And I believe, this is my personal opinion, that that has an effect on our witness. But right now, let's, Kim, if we don't mind, because we have two callers that's on the line, let's go to see what our callers, if they have anything that they want to add or bring to the conversation. So, caller with the last four, 7600. Go ahead, Jerome.
Hey, can you all hear me?
We can hear you fine. How are you doing this evening?
I am wonderful. How are you all?
We're doing well. Doing well.
Great. What a wonderful conversation. I just wanted to add something, too. I'm not sure who the young lady was who was just speaking, but she was answering your question about not necessarily being afraid to say something, but kind of sort of being mindful of how the other person may receive it. And, you know, I've been in politics a long time, and I used to do political talk radio, and I've had so many friends. Of course, I'm not afraid to say this. I am of the Democrat persuasion. That is what I prefer. I am a member of the Democratic Party. That's just what I prefer. I don't have anything against Republicans. I never have, never will. In fact, some of my best friends are and always will be Republicans. But just to give you an idea of what she was talking about, I used to have a great friend who is a state legislator from the state of Georgia who used to come on my program. And he is a Republican. And we would debate Republican or conservative versus liberal politics all the time. Well, I talked to this person maybe, let's say, 7 or 8 months ago. And I was in the process of putting some things together. And we always used to joust back and forth about Democrat versus Republican. But in that conversation with him, I said to him, and excuse the way I'm going to say this, but he said, well, what have you been up to? And I said, oh, you know, just the usual things, trying to do this. These are some projects I'm working on. I said, doing anything I could do to give Republicans hell. And when I said that to him, now keep in mind, this is someone I had a history with, someone I had a rapport with in terms of jousting with Democrat versus Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you could have seen the look on his face. And the way he kind of sort of laughed with me, which was, like, you know, that's really not funny to me. But it was crazy because at the time, you know, he and I used to do the radio program together, whatever. He had not been elected to the Georgia State House yet. And I don't know, you know, he's very, very involved in Republican politics in the state of Georgia. I don't know if perhaps maybe from when we used to do the show up until the point we talked a few months ago, you know, I don't know how much things changed for him, but it was just funny to me. He really did not think it was funny anymore. He did not think it was funny anymore to the point that he and I have not communicated since I said that to him. And no matter how many phone calls I place to him or messages I leave for him, I can't get them returned anymore. So, you know, just keeping in line with what she was saying, it's not always that you are afraid to say something. But also agreeing with her, sometimes people just don't know how to receive a difference of opinion. And I know that's what you all are talking about tonight, you know, always staying Christian. Like a good pastor I know used to have a saying, just because it's lawful, it does not mean it's expedient. Just,
that's
you know, right. Meaning that just because you can say it does not mean that you should say it. So anyway, just to give you all an idea of that, you know, sometimes, and I believe that if ever you're telling the truth and you're standing on the truth, you should never be afraid to say something, and you should never have friends that you always have to agree with in order to stay friends with them. But, you know, then again, like the young lady was saying that's hosting the program with you all, sometimes people just can't receive a difference of opinion, and I'll hang up and continue to listen to you all. But a great program. Thank you for taking my call.
Brother Carter, we really appreciate you, brother. Have a blessed one. Brother Thompson, you still with us?
Yes, definitely.
One of the things that I was hearing from Brother Carter on the line just now was about people being offended or offense. And I think you and I both know, and others as well, that there is a spirit of offense that the enemy is happy to keep throwing around, where we're not able to communicate with one another because of these different political differences. We're not looking at the similarities oftentimes. We're looking at the differences. What would you say in response to how this spirit of offense plays, and what can we do to deal with that as Christians to be able to help others? Because if we can't communicate among each other as Christians, how are we going to communicate? How are we going to witness to others and bring them to Christ? And if you can just give us a short response, if you can, and then we'll go to the next call that's on the line, if you will.
Absolutely. Well, honestly, brother, I really feel like in terms of the response that we have as believers to things like that, and the spirit of offense that's basically taken up, is completely due to our humanity and where we are as people. I mean, we're spirit and flesh, and the flesh literally gets out of control and gets to the point to where we don't want to hear what the spirit is leading us to do, and the reigning hand that God tries to do. We basically ignore it, and we get completely out of place. So honestly, I don't think this is really anything new. I think the politics in terms of the church has just really gotten worse, and it's magnified, and now it's to the point to where people are turned off and disgusted by how we all seem to handle things. So I think what it's going to take in terms of there to be a change is really for sometimes things have to get worse before they get better. I think in terms of the turning around that needs to take place, I think we're going to have to come to an understanding that, first of all, God's not trying to legislate morality, and that we as the believers in the body of Christ, that our job in terms of how we win people over is to show them the light that God has shown in us, and the fruit of that in terms of where God's ever to do in our life is going to be what wins people over to see, this is the role that I will take. I am going to be, it's not so much, the greatest thing isn't to me to get in a president that's anti-abortion, but get in a person that I can touch their life, that they see that abortion is not the answer for them. And I think that's the biggest thing that we can do as believers on that one-on-one basis in terms of changing this world altogether.
Wow, thank you for that. Let us go to the line. We have a caller that's been patiently waiting. Caller with the last four of 2638. 2638, you're on. Do you have a question or comment?
I do. Brother J.R., how wonderful to hear your voice. I cannot wait to see you on the 29th. This is Sister Camille here.
How you doing, Sister?
I am blessed. I had to tune in tonight. Sister Kim, I love your input. I'm just so happy that you guys are able to engage this conversation in the way that you are. And so I just wanted to add just a couple things that I'm hearing, because I think it's important for us to recognize first and foremost that we are not Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we are called to be Christ, but we are not Christ. And so when we walk into any kind of situation, assuming that we have the answer because Christ has given it to us by the Spirit of God, we are first walking into that situation with a self-righteous spirit, first of all. I'm not Christ. I am praying and hoping to walk in and live into the life, not just the politics, but the life of Christ. And so for me, it's important to look at the question that you're asking tonight, not just as a political aware person, but as a Christ lover, a Christ embodiment person. And so for me, if the politics doesn't fit in the politics, it's not going to fit into my life. I've heard a lot of discussions, not just on this radio show, but just on Facebook, Twitter, on just, you know, the TV, about the different political, you know, attitudes and the who won the debate, what happened this way, what happened that way. And first and foremost, I have to say that I have been called. Christ showed me how to walk into power and to be embodied into myself, into this kind of context of contemporary, you know, 2012 kind of political environment. And so I have been given direction, therefore, but I can also reject that direction. And so What we're not talking about, I think, tonight, at least what I'm hoping to hear in the conversation, is that we are called and we are making these decisions based upon what we have been taught, what we have learned, what we have been, you know, come up against and come up in favor of in our own context. Christ showed me how to be living into this Christ-centered politics. But Christ didn't point his finger and say, Camille, you must do this or else you're going to be outside of the body of Christ. I have been called to make a decision based upon what Christ has given me. But it's my decision. I have been called into this. I was not called just to be a Democrat because I'm black. You understand what I'm saying? I wasn't called to vote for Obama simply because I'm black. And I'm, this discussion to me seems like it's rotating around racial and kind of sexual orientations, who we are as black people, who we are as women, versus what we've been called to be as empowered human beings. That's the distinction that I'm hoping to hear moving forward. Now, as far as, you know, what the gentleman said earlier, I really appreciate his desire to want to connect to his friend and to, you know, to recognize that his friend was having some difficulty with his political affiliation. But I would also have to say this, that there may be something that we put out there. There may be something that we are embodying. Because it's easy to say it's the other, it's easy to say it's the Romney camp or it's the Republican camp or, you know, it's because they don't understand our politics as black people, as women. I believe me, I've been on that bandwagon. I've been on that kind of megaphone screaming that kind of stuff. I understand, you know, what it means to be a woman that's been treated less than because I'm a woman. I understand what it means to be black and be treated less than because I'm black. However, I have to say that Christ didn't embody any of that. Christ did not look at his orientation based upon his gender, his nationality, or any of that. Christ embodied his humanity. He embodied who he was as a human being, first and foremost, before he checked into his Jewishness. And so, I don't know, I'm just dropping it in everybody's ear, you know, that maybe that we are the problem, not the other person. Maybe it's the way that we interpret ourselves in that Republican and Democratic context. Maybe it's the way that we see ourselves as black versus white. Maybe it's us and not them. Maybe it's the fact that we feel like we are the other, that we're acting and embodying a sense of, you know, politics of struggle, politics of economic prosperity. Maybe we are the one that's walking in the sense of less than versus someone putting that onto us. And so for me, you know, moving forward, coming into the context as a woman, as an immigrant, as an immigrant of color, all of those things matter. Yes, they do. I'm not going to sit here and act as though my color doesn't matter to the fact that I live in the South. I get that. I've experienced racism. I've experienced the sexism. But there had to be a point in time where I had to sit back with Christ. I had to sit down with Christ, drink some tea, ginger tea, because that's from the islands. We drink ginger tea. You know, and really ask the question, is it me? You know, what is it that I'm doing? I understand that the Romney camp and the Republican camp and, you know, the conservative Georgia camp is doing A, B, C, and I get that, Christ, but what's going on with Camille that I'm always interpreting myself based upon the struggle and the lack of resources, the struggle of being a woman, the struggle of being engendered, the struggle of being an immigrant? Maybe I'm the one that got the problem.
Well, Camille, let me
ask you. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and it's good that you're bringing that out for us, because everybody has a different place of where they are.
Absolutely.
Everybody has a different place of where they are. And so by us having this conversation, and we thank you so much for your comment, and I do hope to see you next week. Well, I'm sure I'll see you next week.
Yay!
Loving
it.
I'm
looking forward to it, JR.
Okay. But so we thank you, Camille. Let me go to back to Brother Thompson briefly. You know, she said some good points. Everybody is coming to this with something. And if you didn't know Camille, Brother Thompson, you wouldn't know that she was an immigrant. you wouldn't know that she is a Republican. You didn't wouldn't know if she was a Democrat. So going back to that scripture of Colossians 4:6, the conversation that we have, if I start making derogatory comments about a Republican or about Mitt Romney, and then I find out that, oh, you are a Republican, something in me is probably going to say, Brother Thompson really probably got offended about something that I said, if I care. If it's something in me, if I care, then I may have that feeling at a later point of time, and vice versa. So for me, it continues to go back to that. But another thing that it goes back to is John 13, where Jesus said, love one another. And all those things that Sister Camille just brought out, it's hard to say that you love one another or I love my brother if you're not trying to do anything for them. But if you're willing to use derogatory language, if you're willing to cut them down or cut a party down, it seems like you're going against the grain when it comes to that. And for me, that's the Jesus love ethic. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what he commanded us to do. So, Brother Thompson, if you can, you mentioned something about legislating morality. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Well, in the point I was trying to make in that, brothers, that essentially, you know, like we said before, that we vote our interests. So what we'll basically hear from one another is, I'm going to vote for the person that more closely aligns themselves with the things that I believe. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't condemn anybody for voting their interests. The thing that I think we run into issues with is this, is that we essentially think as Christians that the extent of our ability or the extent of our authority and power rests within who sits in a particular place or position. In other words, so if I'm a Christian and I don't get any person in office who's anti-abortion, somehow that means that everybody that is having children in the world is going to basically be killing babies. And that's absolutely ridiculous. While the role of the president and those in office have significant place and authority, the greatest authority is what God placed on the inside of you and me and everybody else who's listening on this radio show. And that is through the power of not just prayer, but our own actions and our lifestyle and the way we govern ourselves. It's just as simple as this. If I looked at your life, bro, and I saw where God was taking you, and I begin to see the effects of the Christ-centered life in your life, and I looked at mine and Christ wasn't present, and I saw the direction in which my life was headed, just common sense alone is going to make me think, maybe there's something wrong with what I'm doing. I need to consider what my brother's doing because it's working. And
right.
It's the same thing. And we as believers need to understand is that the power of our witness, the power of our testimony, the power of our lifestyle, the power of what we, the fruit of our life is going to have the greatest impact of those who we can impact. You know, God places people in our life all the time for us to make a difference. But we are so centered on, as the young lady said before, looking at things from the perspective of that we've got all the answers or that the way in which we want to approach a situation isn't the way that God's leading us to approach a situation. So as a result, we either have no effect or we swim in the other direction. And I think when you look at things from that perspective and you begin to see the lack of effectiveness that the church is having in society, it's not because that God is somehow less effective. It's because our model is broken, and we've gone to a system that is completely useless for today. And the more we get back to one-on-one, the more we get back into discipling, the more we get back into focusing on families and being the difference in our home, and the less we get to yelling one another and hollering out, getting on Facebook and Twitter and all these other pages and spewing out our personal ideas and alienating ourselves, the more effective we'll be by touching people who we are, God's putting our life to touch. And that's essentially what Christ is all about. We look at his model. His model is still the model for today, the one that works. As you said, JR, he basically loved his way through those who didn't see his way.
That's right.
You know, when you look at Christ's model, he really had no one on his side, not even the disciples, because the people that he won over, even the Jews, no one was really in his corner. So he simply came down here and he did things so diametrically different from anything that had ever been done before but yet he was able to be the most successful.
Wow.
Because he was able to hone in on what made a difference, and that was the difference he could make with every single person that he touched. So when I'm having a conversation with somebody who's a staunch Republican, for example, and I, like yourself, I'm an independent, and they're spewing their ideas, and they're telling me why I should go this route, and they're telling me this, and they're telling me that, and they're Obama bashing, as I like to say sometimes. They don't know what stance I'm going to take, and they want to condemn me if I feel as though I want to support this man, and somehow that makes them feel like they're a better Christian. I've still got to have grace to allow them to speak what they want to have to say, and yet have the patience and wisdom to respond in a way that lets people know that he's not just like everybody else. He's not just a Christian. He really is Christ-like. And that takes a lot of discipline, and it takes time, and I believe that these discussions are going to help us get that way.
One thing that you said, Brother Thompson, you said no one was in his corner. That's a powerful statement, because just what we're talking about tonight, what we've dealt with on the other show on October 2nd and the other two, this is not something that we want to deal with from a constructive point of view inside of most churches that I know of. I'm not going to say all the churches. I'm going to say most of the churches that I know of. It's either one side or the other. It's either highly Democrat or it's either highly Republican. And I'm going to be honest with you, if you go and visit one of those churches, you can kind of tell what the tone is based upon the things that are being said. So our witness is very, very important. And you mentioned something about fruit, and I said we're going to deal with scriptures. You know, in Matthew 12, it says a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad.
Right.
A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you will say will either acquit you or condemn you. Now, that's not what I said. That's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, if we have more time, we can go and we can have discussions off the air about the whole context. But the words are the words. So our fruit is very, very important to what other people are seeing, because that's what other people are going to judge us by. And it's also what is going to help win souls to Christ and help people's lives to change for the better. Kim, are you there with us?
Yes, I am, JR. I'm just soaking up all this conversation.
Boy, this must be good, because Kim ain't never been this quiet.
I'm trying to be an adult. I'm acting right. I'm trying to act right.
Well, while the callers were on, Shelly, she hit us up. She said everything was quiet in the chat room, and we don't have anything going on right now on Facebook. So we'll just continue on. Let me shift to a minute, because there are some statements that I've been hearing, and I'm sure some of our listeners have heard them, whether they said them or whether they've heard them. One of the statements that I've heard was that a young lady, she mentioned to me that she was not going to vote. She was just going to sit back and watch. And when she told me the reasons why, and I know I mentioned this on the previous show, she said that she wasn't going to vote for Mitt Romney because he was a Mormon. Now, this is a Christian lady. She wasn't going to vote for Mitt Romney because he was a Mormon. And she wasn't going to vote for President Obama because he was a Muslim. Well, I think we kind of should know right by now that after the last 4 years, we should have an understanding that he never said he was a Muslim. He's always said he was a Christian. But for some people, we know that they don't want to accept that because that's something that they can hold on to be anti-Obama. We understand that. We got it. But when you hear statements like that, do you think that it really disrupts the whole process when people are that frustrated because they can't get good dialogue? They don't see the kind of debates that we're hoping that they will be out of love and out of respect and trying to state my position but letting everybody know I don't agree with yours or why your position is not the right position or the way that you're saying we should go is not the way that we should go. But for a statement like that, or what about this other statement? We want our country to turn back to God.
JR. Oh, Lord, now I got to say something.
I knew I was going to. Go ahead, Kim. And we are still, for those who just tuned in, we are dealing with Christ-centered politics. So go ahead, Kim.
Absolutely, because I'm with you on some stuff. I'm just so sick of the foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know what I was reading, but I recently read something on where we have gotten away from the ideology of thought. All we want to do is send out little shock messages and stimulate ourselves. We're all about stimulation these days. And we don't want to ponder. We don't want to enter into discussion. We don't want to be agitated. We don't want anything to rub us the wrong way. We just want flowers, rainbows, sunshines, and puppy dogs. That's all we want. And I don't want to call the person's not ignorant. The statement is one of little to no thought, because it doesn't take anything for me to say I'm not going to vote, because I'm in my 40s as well, and I remember the day I turned 18, and I remembered my parents taking me down to register to vote. That was a memory of mine, and I hold it very valuable to be able to do that, to be able to participate in the process, to be able to enter into, I enjoy an adult conversation. I enjoy that. That's an art that I believe has just been completely lost. And I think in losing that art is where the offense came in at. Because now I'm offended that you want to have a conversation with me. I'm offended that people don't even know how to take you when you sit there and just listen to them. They're expecting you, if you enter into some conversations like these, some difficult conversations, I watch the expressions on a person's face, because they're watching me to see, oh, I got to say something before she does. Oh, I got to say, and I'm just sitting there listening. They're already on 10.
Right.
So we have lost the art of how to enter into conversation. I think that's just a lost art. I really, really do.
And I thank you for that. And I think, well, I know this is something good about Freedom Radio, because we have this space and we have this freedom to have these conversations. And let me just put it out there to our Freedom Radio listeners. Kim and I don't agree on everything, y'all.
No.
Dre said
no.
We don't.
But we're mindful of each other's opinions.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it makes us think.
We have to do it from a Christ-centered, because we are Christians. So we have to go into what Camille was saying. It's part of who we are. So we have to do it from a Christ-centered ethic of love. So, yes, me and Kim don't fight, don't get me wrong, but we don't agree on everything, you know. But who does? Let's be honest.
Right.
Nobody just gets along with everybody. A husband and wife never not have any arguments or disagreements. That's just not how it works. So I'm grateful. I really am. I'm grateful and I'm thankful to God that we have this medium where we can talk about this, because I would love to be able to go to church and have this type of conversation with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because the danger is, if somebody comes into our church, your church, my church, whoever, and my church has a culture of a certain position, whether it's Democrat or Republican, we may run somebody that really needs Jesus. We may run somebody who really needs a body of believers to pray with them, to help them in certain things in their life. And we may run them off by the certain things that we say that can be of a certain political persuasion. So, again, it is about the conversation. It is about making sure that we are not purposely offending individuals. And Kim, I'm grateful what you said. You said the statement is ignorant. The person is not.
Right.
I don't see anything wrong with Jesus saying that today. Sir, ma'am, the statement that you made is ignorant. I don't call you ignorant, but the statement is ignorant, because there's some things that a person may not understand. And let me just give you a couple. When I heard the statement of our country needs to turn back to God, and I'm going to press you Drea, because this is one of the things you said, is about thinking about it. I thought about, well, what does that mean? I'm in the 40 Club now. And so I think about what time periods are the individuals talking about who are saying that? Is the individual saying we need to turn our country back to God, return back to God, go back to where our country was a God country? Are they talking about a free civil rights era? Are they talking about free voting rights, Act of 1964? Are they talking about the Lilly Ledbetter Act? I think it was 2009. So the question becomes, what's the perception when that statement is made? And what perception do I think about you? And also, what is really behind that statement? I know I threw a lot of things out there, but Brother Thompson, we'll let you pick up one of them and run with it.
No, I think all that was great. That's one of the things that I appreciate what Kim said earlier, basically, in just being considerate in our conversation. We get so focused on the point that we're trying to make and the persuasion that we're trying to bring in our conversation that we completely discount what anybody else has to say, that it has no validity whatsoever. And that's just a dangerous place for us to get in. And I think part of the thing we need to understand is certain conversations, just by nature of what they are difficult to have. And in doing so, you need to know where you are in terms of maturity if you can have that kind of conversation with someone else. If you know that this is a situation where you really can't rightfully talk about this without being offensive, then don't have that conversation. Dismiss yourself from that conversation and be wise enough to step away from that and ask God to help you to get to the place where you can have a conversation with something that is that sensitive to you, but yet at the same time you can be respectful, mindful, considerate, and then come to a fruitful place at the end of it. Because, again, it goes back to the first thing I said, and that is we have to remember that we are always supposed to be trying to win.
Right.
For the cause of Christ, not for any other purpose but for the cause of Christ. If that's what our Christ-centered focus is. Our Christ-centered focus in politics can't be any different than our Christ-centered focus when it comes to our culture. We still need to be trying to win. Even if we're talking about the African-American culture, we can't let conversations about our African-American culture cause us to be so alienated from Caucasians or Hispanics that where we can't win.
Right.
It has to be always from the perspective of bringing together, and I'm not trying to communicate some kind of a mindset that I'm there. I struggle with it all the time, and the more things are personal and passionate to you, the more difficult they can become. But I think it all goes back to a level of maturity and wisdom and how we carry ourselves and what we've learned over the years. And, you know, I'm like this. I'm personally like this. If it's not working, I am not going to do it. And if I see something that is not working, I'm done. Will not be the dead horse I refuse. And I think in terms of how we have communicated with one another in terms of politics, now this is a specific area, I think it's not working. And we need to look at that and say, okay, what do we need to do different here? And I think, like I said before, I think what Kim said in terms of being considerate in our statements, you know, like you said, we make a lot of shock statements. We want to grab somebody's attention, and they'd be drawn to what we have to say, but then the quality of what we're having to say is piss poor, and it does far more damage than it ever does to anything fruitful or helpful for us or anybody that we're communicating to, and that's not the message that we need to be trying to bring across.
Let me throw out another scripture for our listening audience. It comes out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. It says, remind everyone about these things. This is what Paul said to Timothy. And command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer. So with that, we're going to go on to our next subject, and let's talk about division for a minute, Brother Thompson. In Matthew 12, Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. And I thought about that scripture, or that came to me, or God led me to that scripture several weeks ago, as I thought about how Congress and our Senate is set up. One party on one side, the other party on the other. And when the President of the United States, whoever he has been and is, we notice how if we ever watch State of the Union address or the President address from there, from that point, each side is rooting, either rooting or booing. And in my opinion, that shows division. My wife said something to me one time, Brother Tom, she said, wouldn't it be better if everybody sat together? I know you have to have a middle aisle.
Wow.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
No, I'm listening. You go ahead. Finish your statement.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be together? Wouldn't it show more solidarity by there not being a division, a line drawn down the middle, like a line in the sand, where one side was only one side and one side was on the other? And if you really think about it, in some of our churches, we had that same type of thing, do we not? You have the congregation sitting in the pew, and on the left side, you have deacons, and on the right side, some may have mothers. Not in every church, but I know you've seen it, Brother Thompson. So we can't be too upset when we see what's going on in our political governmental system if we have some of those same tendencies within our church. One of the greatest things about the church that I attended, was when I first started going there, I would see husbands sitting with their wives. That was powerful for me. I didn't know who the deacons were. I didn't know who the other ministers in the church was. It was about family. It was about that unity. And for me, that was a powerful statement. So, Brother Thompson, if you can touch on that, if you have anything, and we'll go to Kim and Dre afterwards.
Well, what I think is even more amazing about the situation is that after our politicians have done destroying one another and just eradicating their character in one another. And then once the president is selected, then they all come up and say, whoever that person is, now it's time for all of us to come together, as if we've forgotten all the humiliating and basing things that they said about one another. And so it's just absurd from the very beginning to the very end of it. And the ones that ends up hurting is basically the people that need the most help because of the divisiveness that's there. And that exists among us. So, you know, I think of it a lot like my son plays the 7-8-year-old football, and we were watching the game the other night, and you know, he's a little kid, so they're cute. They're running around here with the big helmets, larger than themselves. And one of the other kids on our team hit another kid, and hit him so hard he hurt him. And one of the parents was just, and this is a female. She just began to celebrate and just applaud, and this other kid is laying on the floor, and my wife and I are, like, appalled. We're like, what in the world? Are you serious? It's one thing to celebrate the fact that your son did well, but you've got a 7-year-old kid on the ground, seriously hurt, and all you can think about is celebrating. And we're sitting there like, okay, at this age, should we not be teaching our children, one, let's pick each other up, and two, let's celebrate everybody, because we're really out here for the whole sport of teaching you to learn how to game. And the fact of the matter, it goes to the point that we just go too far. We go too far. I understand that, you know, in the heat of the battle, as we're, you know, the Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, and everybody else, Libertarians are all spouting their ideals, and they have to make their point across. We go to the point of destruction, to where we are willing to debase one another to the point of no matter who's hurt in the process, in order for us to get our point across, or in order for this person to win. And that is not at all the standard or the image that God has left for us to have. You know, we act as if the world has just now come about with all these different religions. Like somehow this is new to God and he doesn't really know how to handle it. There were, for thousands upon thousands of years, there's been multiplied religions across the world. Christ wasn't intimidated by someone who had a different belief than him. Matter of fact, he was absolutely, I would say, seemed to be even more so when he came across somebody of a different mindset, of a different view. He was more willing to listen and respond because of the surety in who he was, not in the getting lost in all the different things other people said that they were. It didn't matter because who he was the truth. So the truth and a lie can separate themselves so easily. And the fact of the matter is that's exactly what we have to do because of what we hold and what we have in our lives to be the truth. Everything else must be a lie. When you don't have to expose a lie to the point of hurting that person, but you're just bringing them into the light of the truth. So in doing that, you don't want to destroy or hurt anybody else. You want to let them see the benefit and the blessings of who God allows you to let him see that you can have as a part of your life.
Wow. Dre, are you still with us?
I am here.
You've been quiet, Dre. No, I'm not used to this.
I know. I've just been listening to everything and trying to absorb it and learning and just thinking about my own thoughts and opinions. And I was kind of like with your wife where I wonder that too. Like, why do Democrats and Republicans have to sit on opposite sides if their goal is to run the country for the best interests of the people? And how do you look at the best interest if you're constantly trying to divide and conquer rather than unite and agree? I don't understand why politics has to be why can't it be about a compromise rather than a battle? You know, I just can't see whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat. I can't see one Republican standing for everything that that Republicans stand for and not sway over to what a Democrat would agree with. You know, I just don't see anyone being one-sided to anything because I just don't see that as human nature, you know, for all those people to believe in one thing. And I think if they unite and talk more, then they'll probably see that they actually are, a lot of them have the same views of things. It's just they're taking different steps to get there. It's just kind of like all the different religions that are out there. If the common goal is to abide by their belief or, you know, to have morals and be kind and peaceful to others, then what does it matter what their stance or what their religious background is? Why can't the common ground just be that they're living their life through the Lord that they feel is their, you know, their higher power, depending on what their belief is? And the common goal is just to live life in a peaceful, joyful manner with everyone being prosperous and wealthy, you know? That's just my thoughts.
and we thank you. You know, on Freedom Radio, everybody's opinion matters. Everybody's opinion matters. Everybody has one. That's how God made us. So one of the things that I think about as we have these type of shows is a lot of people are listening. You know, the listenership is there. But when we start having fruitful discussions, when it's not about backbiting, backstabbing, when it's not about being so far to the left or so far to the right, when we can be the type of individuals that have this type of responsible dialogue, it reminds me of you can get more with honey than you can with salt or something like that.
Yeah,
and like,
right.
You know what I'm talking about because, you know, that's a Southern saying. We don't say that no more.
That is country.
It's country, yeah. I didn't want to say that, and I don't want to, you know, divide and conquer anything from the north and south. But, you know, we had a couple of comments on our Blog Talk Radio website, and Brother Thompson, I'll come back to you. One of the comments is, when making your decision how to vote, should there be any absolute deal breakers, or should we consider the totality of the candidate? Single-issue-minded voters are dangerous. And this goes to what you just said, Drea, being so one-sided. Some people may say one-sided, others may say single-issue. But Brother Thompson, is that something
yes,
that you
sir.
Would agree with? Is that something that that you find helpful or something for us to really think about where we can get more and more to dialogue with other people who may be single issues? You know, I may be a single issue individual on certain things. You may be single issue individual. But how did that whole thing about just one thing play into this whole decision to vote And how do we bring that back to Christ in the politics?
Well, I can just tell you, for me personally, I try to be open-minded. And that is, certain things, I would never tell anybody, any other person, how they should vote. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to say, hey, if you're voting this way, that's wrong. I would just say that I try to be open-minded, because like the young lady, I think her name is Drea, just pointed out a few minutes ago, none of us wholeheartedly agree on every single issue. You know, there may be some person that you feel like you're closely more in line with in certain aspects, and others, you completely disagree with that prospect. So you have to consider what values you have that are more important to you. Obviously, with certain things that we prioritize in our lives that we rate. But I think it just really benefits us when we're more open-minded. We consider the totality of a person and look at all the views. For me, like I said, I look at the consistency of a person. I personally feel like the Romney in 08 and the Romney in 2012 are two different people. So, you know, I understand people can change and people can evolve, but, you know, that's the thing that was a concern for me. I look at President Obama in 08, some of the things that he stood for in terms of what seemed to be very, very liberal views initially. When he began to govern, he came a little bit more to the middle, and I appreciated that, because I don't think anybody can govern being stubborn-minded and wanting things all their way. I don't think it works that way. Our government is such that we have checks and balances in place so that nobody should be able to have all of their way anytime. And I think that's what's made this nation become so great so quickly. So that's just the way I look at things. But, again, I would never tell anyone how they ought to go about in that process, just whatever matters to you.
Let me throw my small opinion. The totality of the person, it matters. And Christ-centered politics is what we're talking about. Can you imagine if Jesus said, I'm going to be through with you, Brother Thompson, because of one thing? Your salvation is gone because you drank.
Wow.
Your salvation is gone because you have bad credit. I'm not speaking that over you. I'm just throwing that out there. So you is not meaning you, Brother Thompson. But
I
see Christ saying, because your credit score is a 480, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Because your credit score is a 480, you don't deserve to have anything better. I look at that as being the same type of thing when it comes to this single issue mentality. It's dangerous. But with Christ didn't do that with us. Out of all of the junk that Brother Dunlap has done in his life, regardless of the positions that I'm in and have held in the past, I'm still loved by him. He still loves me. He still is giving me chance after chance to get certain things right. So since he doesn't condemn like that, we can't condemn our other brothers and our other sisters in that same manner. Think about it, y'all. Just let it marinate. Think about it. I really think it's not that hard, this Christian journey. I say it all the time, but sometimes you've heard me say it as well. This journey called Christianity is not that hard. If we as human beings, it's our fallacy as fallen creatures that make it difficult. Is the things that we experience, is how we were raised, is things that we go through in life, is disappointment, all of that frames who we are and why we think the way we think. And a lot of us want change. But you can't change if you're not willing to go through the process, because everything doesn't happen overnight. I'm going to shut up. Let me read what this next comment that we have, y'all. It said, how can you be sure, this is a deep one, how can you be sure you are hearing from God through your pastor when it is obvious your pastor is aligned with a particular party? Uh-oh.
Wow.
Let me just say this also for the callers, for the listeners. You can press 1 on your dial pad and comment at any time. Press 1 on your dial pad. You can comment at any time. But Thompson, that's a deep one.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But I'm sorry, somebody was saying something. I'll step back.
No, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, yeah, that's very powerful, because the thing about it is that pastors, we have a role in that, you know, we are influencers. And you have to really value and honor that position of an influencer and really be very, very leery of how you influence people. I think in terms of the extent of that, I think going anything outside of influencing people into clear-cut direction from the Word of God and things that God has spoken to you directly, outside of that, I think we are completely out of line, and we are misleading when we use that I would say, that God-given position to do anything greater or anything outside of that spiritual role that we're called. But I would say to those persons that you feel like you may have a pastor or pastors that may be leaning a different political direction from you, while you may want to take from that and assume certain things, don't wrap everything up in that either. Just like JR was saying earlier about not taking one aspect of a person and then assuming the worst and throwing them away. If your pastor is Republican or a Democrat and you're vice versa, don't throw your pastor away because you think then that he must be closely in line with every view this particular party has. You know, you have to know your pastor for who he is. You have to know his heart. You have to know what he stands for. And if you believe him to be a godly man and he has different political views, maybe he doesn't directly stop those, but maybe indirectly you can see where that influence is going. I would even, if certainly that's a thing where you feel like it's somehow you're being slighted or this may be coming as a result, I would even sit down with them and engage in conversation and let them know your heart, where you're coming from, because he's still a human being or she's still a human being, and we don't always get things perfect, but for whatever reason, they may be going out that way. So I would just encourage you to not let the enemy take that as a situation to bring about disruption and distraction in something far more significant, and that's your relationship with your spiritual father or mother because of their political views.
Go ahead, Kim.
We have someone in the chat room asked this question, and I just want to pose it to everybody and find out what you guys think about it. The person in the chat room asked, what are our thoughts on Romans 13:1 as it relates to voting and or not voting? And Romans 13:1 reads, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So the person in the chat room is asking what you think about that as it relates to voting or not voting.
Well, let me just give you my take on Romans 13. Romans 13 is talking about respect for authority and godly authority. I don't believe that particular verse is speaking directly about voting. I think you can bring that into it, you know, in the academic world, seminary world, we talk about proof texts. So I can't say that it's hard for me to bring that into the conversation. But let's just deal with what the verse says. Everybody must be subject or submit to the governing authorities. I agree with that wholeheartedly. All authority comes from God. And those in positions have been placed there by God. That's a difficult thing for us to think about, because when we go back to certain elections where we may believe that the individual gained his or her office, we can say, you know what, we make that judgment call. That wasn't God. But how do we know that that was not of God? Did God just allow that to happen? Or, as I talked about a couple of weeks ago, there's 30,000 citizens in Phoenix City. 5,000 of them voted in the last election. There was a runoff election for two positions. Only 2,500 people came out. So God helps those of us who show that we want some help, but we have to do our part. Now, if we keep going down inside of the verse, and I'll bring Brother Thompson in, one of the things that it says in verse 4 is the authorities are sent there by God. They're God's servants, and they're sent there for our good. Well, that goes back to how do you perceive your government? How do you perceive those individuals? Brother Thompson?
Yes.
Go ahead, brother. I'm going to let you jump in on that as well. I don't think it personally is one that I can actually say it's about voting. And trying to make it fit, I can't make it fit, brother.
Well, you know, you're right. Obviously, the Bible doesn't focus on the democratic process. So when we look at the Word of God, the scriptures that help us guide us in processes like that, and specifically the Romans 13:1, you're correct, and that is essentially God is wanting us to know that as believers, our job is not to walk in, basically to disagree or walk in the other side of where our government would have us to go in terms of what we need to do as a honorable Christian / citizen. We need to do those things that the government calls on us to do. And honoring God is honoring our leaders and the laws that are placed before us. So, and one way of looking at that is that we have a freedom, we have an opportunity, and we have a responsibility to vote. So I think in terms of looking at where the Word of God would stand versus just the whole process of voting, I think it would encourage us to do so because, number one, those that don't vote are saying that they're not going to get involved with the process that brings about the change that we need. They're not going to let their voices be heard so that they can make a difference. So obviously I think the scripture would support that, but I don't think anybody could come out and say, okay, hey, this is the Word of God that says you want to do this in terms of this political process that we have. But I think just in terms of doing what is right and doing what we can to let our voices be known, we ought to get involved in the process and do everything that we can, regardless of the route that we feel like we want to go.
Mm. Kim?
Well,
we are winding down. Let me say this one last thing, and then I was about to say I'll let you close out your show, but I'll just turn the mic back over to you. You know, what we've dealt with tonight is a very interesting topic. And we realize that politics bring out the beast in people, whether it's bringing it out in you or whether it brings it out in me. So my question to everybody that's listening, my question to those who are in the chat room is think about how you remain Christ-centered in this whole thing that we call politics. People place race before Christianity. People place their Democratic Party before Christianity. Think about this. How do you rise against and rise above all the mess that's going on and still remain focused on the real issues? There is a movie that came out back in, I think, 97, and it was called The Great Debaters. And that's not 97, 2007, with Denzel Washington. And let me just throw these two things out. If you go to YouTube, there is a clip of the movie, and its name of the clip is Debate from the Movie The Great Debater. And then there's another one that is Wiley USC, so W-I-L-E-Y, USC Great Debate. And for those who don't know, the movie from 2007 was it was a drama about a professor at Wiley College, which is in Texas. It happened in the 1930s. And what he did, he inspired the school and the students to have their first debate team. And then what they did, they challenged Harvard University in the national championship. And then when you go and look at the Wiley USC Great Debate clip, that's from 2012. So that's 77 years ago. They had their next debate after 77 years. And if you think about the 1930s, think about the different tensions that we had in this country, or try to think about the different tensions we had in our country, especially with race. That says a lot, that after 77 years, it took that long for these two teams to come back together. So my prayer is that it doesn't take us that long for us as Christians to come back together, because the reality is after that first Tuesday in November, there's going to be a lot of people hurt. Where will we stand up as Christians? Where will we stand up? Kim, thank you for allowing me to host this this show. It's been a joy. We had a lot of callers that have been on the line and a lot of participation. So let me just say thank you to you and thanks to Drea, Brother Thompson, for coming on. And we went a little bit longer than we normally do, but that's okay. I just believe that God is pleased with how we conducted ourselves, and hopefully 800, 1,000, 2,000 listeners will participate in this particular show as well, so that they can hear a different point of view, not our opinion, but what thus says the Lord. So, Kim, thanks again, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you very much, J.R., Drea, and Brother Thompson. I appreciate all of the conversation, everything that you guys have added tonight. I'm grateful these times that all of our shows are on demand immediately afterwards, because then I can go back and kind of, because, you know, I'm working during all this, so I don't get to hear everything, but I go back and listen to the show so I can catch things. And like Drea pointed out earlier, we really do, the conversations we have on this radio show really do challenge us, and we really go back and have some personal dialogue with ourselves about the points that our listeners bring up. So I just want to say thank you again. And I challenge each one of you to follow Freedom Radio. Follow us on Facebook, We Speak Radio, Blog Talk Radio. Check us out every Tuesday. We're here. So my challenge to you is simply this. Go out this week and resurrect some responsible dialogue. We thank you. We'll see you again next week. Drea is hosting next week, you guys. That's her debut, so come back next Tuesday. Watch out. It is her debut doing it. So we'll see you guys next Tuesday at 8:30. You know how we do. We'll be here. Resurrect some responsible dialogue. Thank you, and you guys have a good night.